The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we are live, and we have a great program for you today, one that's going to arm you with things that you need to optimize your immunological responses. And by the way, that's the title of our in-house continuing education program at the Rozelle Center for Healing this Wednesday, January the 11th at 6 p.m., and it's simply that, optimize your immune system. Wouldn't it be great to have all the tools to make sure that you don't have to worry about anything and get yourself to a place that you're nice and strong? Well, that's what we do. That's how we want you to think about your health, not running away from things, but to optimize stuff. So with whether it's colds or flus or COVID or, you know, whatever's happening that's out there, that you have the tools, you have the capacity to make things different. And who will be joining me and who's my guest today on the program? None other than one of my most favorite people to talk to because he's like way smart, Dr. Scott Lamps. Dr. Scott, welcome to the program. This is going to be a fun back and forth, not only today, but this Wednesday evening.
Well, certainly. And Happy New Year to you, Tom. And this is going to be something to start off. I mean, there's nothing like being trying to get healthy at the beginning of the year. Whoever does that, you know?
Right. You know, we come out of the sick time. What I talk about the sick time is starting at Halloween, you know, through Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays and now going into the first of the year. People eat more crap and put more junk in their body than they do any other time of the year. And they don't do such a good job before that either, but it sets the stage. And that's one of the reasons between that and no sunlight and the change in temperatures and the stress levels that happen. That's why everybody's getting sick. But let's look at it differently. Let's figure out what we can do to optimize all of this, and let's go from there. Scott, when you look at somebody's immunological system, when they're sitting there in front of you, you know, what's determinations? You know, how do you know that their immune response isn't as good as it should be, or it's, you know, it needs to be tweaked? They're going to be more susceptible virtually than anybody else.
There's a lot of different factors. I think I was talking to you about before. It's one of the things is that there's multiple levels that create problems with our immune function. I think when our immune function is compromised, our normal processes are compromised. A lot of things, and we don't realize how much with mood and depression, you talked about vitamin D as being one of those things, but a lot of those things too could be infections of things like something called a blood-brain barrier. You get stuff going across here, you get an infection in there or an inflammation in there, and all of a sudden things don't connect the right way. So there's a lot of different things. You can take a look at how somebody moves. Have they got some joint soreness or problems and things of that nature? There's some connections with that with viruses and things. So there's like, okay, I can look at this person. They're not moving correctly. And their thought processes, are they actually being able to answer something quickly, or they're hesitant or whatever? Is there, you know, some type of mental or a compromise with the electrical connections that are there? Are they obese? You know, they're inflamed. Are they have problems with, you know, some digestive acids? They're having problems with burping and belching and things. The thing I'm trying to say is if you have immune compromise, then other things in your bodies are going to be compromised, multiple things. And, you know, one of the things I do, I'm maybe a little bit different than some of the other people in the office, is that the nutritional sheet that I use is in line to how the body works. And when I show it to somebody, to give you an example, the first questions on it are, how's your digestion? How's the stomach and the pancreas working? The second issue is gallbladder, liver, small intestine, large intestine, then minerals and essential fatty acids and sugar handling. And then it gets into vitamins and then all the adrenals, pituitary, thyroid, circulation, or the sex aspects, heart, bladder. And the last thing that's asked on that sheet is immune system. And you think, well, why is immune last? Because everything in front of it helps make the immune system work.
That's true. That's absolutely straight on. You know, we look at a platform of structural, chemical, emotional. We're looking at the spinal system and so forth. You know, and here's something that a lot of people forgot, and I brought up multiple times since March of 2020. And one was from an article that I really enjoy that I have in my files at this point. I've been using when I teach, and I've been teaching immunological function. Matter of fact, the end of February, I'm going to be at the Florida Chiropractic Physicians Convention, and we'll be lecturing on immunological responses, but based on some things that, you know, we acknowledge because that's who we are, but we don't talk about. There was an article that was published in the World Federation of Chiropractic, and it was done back in March of 2020, and it was simply the effect of spinal manipulation, of spinal adjustments on immunity and immunological systems. And it went through and it reviewed the literature, and it was quite significant. And it came out of multiple universities throughout the world. One was a well-known university in Sweden, the University of Lund. And, you know, they said that they set up a system where there were people who had never had anything done to them structurally, and people who were adjusted or taken care of or had spinal manipulation on an ongoing basis, and wanted to find out, was there a difference? And what they found was there was greater than a 200% immune increase in people who had structural care, and a 400% increase for people who were being plagued with cancers and other serious diseases and so forth. So structural manipulation is amazing in its effect to optimize immunological responses. My children, that's all they've known since they were born. They were adjusted. They got acupuncture. Their mother is a nutritionist. And, you know, so they had the best of all the worlds. But that's one of the things this Wednesday evening that I'm going to talk about as well. And I promise you, we're going to talk about COVID. We're going to talk about the things you can do to protect yourself. We're going to talk about not being fearful, because fear itself decreases immunological pathways and so
Absolutely.
Forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dr. Scott, you know, set the stage a little bit relative to the relationship. You know, our office, you're going to hear me and you, and, you know, specifically you talk about the intestinal system's impact on immune responses and immunological considerations. Just touch on that a little bit. So I want to kind of tease people what they're going to get into when they come this Wednesday evening.
Well, I mean, we take a look, and I think from different sources, you said it in past podcasts and in various lectures, you know, they say that 70 to 90% of your gut tract is actually part in the relationship to the immune system. And we can let things get in, or we can keep things out. We need to break things down in the digestive tract. This is how we rebuild our body. We get our minerals. We get our vitamins. We get different aspects, proteins and things to help rebuild our cells. And if that is not working really well, then things compromise. Like we said in the beginning, if you got an immune system problem, something else is having a problem elsewhere. Something's not working the way it's supposed to. It's not what they call homeostatic. It's not balanced. Something's going off. And then when we eat things that are inappropriate, if we have pathogens that can get into the system that we're not necessarily in some of the foods, we're not getting the acids in their body to help break some of these foods down, that can create problems. In going back to what you're talking about, what happens when you get adjusting in the spine, I think one of the things that really makes it simple for people to understand, I think with the nervous system itself, when we adjust something, we're actually telling the nerve either to expand or contract something. Something might be too tight, we opening it up, and all of a sudden it can go back and work between opening and closing. And sometimes things are caught open and caught closed. Could it be that possibly when we adjust something to hydrochloric acid to the stomach, that the stomach and the cells in that stomach area cannot put out the hydrochloric acid to break things down? Does that get it interpreted wrong? Does it get stuck or locked up so it doesn't work as well? Or is there an excess that's happening? Maybe the nerve is now putting too much information out and not enough inhibition to keep it back.
You know, one of the things I look at, and I'm acknowledge this piece of that, and I try to describe it a little differently because I'm kind of simple-minded, and when it comes to representing things, you have a a relay system. It's called your brain spinal cord and the nerves that come off of it, and they go to organ systems. So you have that from the outside, the soma, the body, to the visceral components, the inside, the body, the organ systems. So when that nerve is being impaired by some method, either it's being stretched or it's being pressed upon, either by tissue or bone, and it's not firing the way it's supposed to. It's like taking a rheostat and dimming it down or hyperaccelerating the electrical flow to the target. Either way, it causes a problem. And then you have to deal with the immunological responses due to the fuel, if you will. But here's the piece that I wanted to draw a little attention to. The gut itself, the intestinal tract, is 75% of immune response. It deals with digestion and uptake of nutrients and maintaining an immune homeostasis, a balance, if you will. But the thing that is that the gut itself produces the neurochemistries, if you will, the enzymes that are necessary across the board for other systems to work. So if that system isn't working properly, none of that's possible.
Yeah, I think you're feeding the body the workers that need to make everything go. I mean, one of the things that's a big thing, a lot of people think about serotonin and its use and for things in depression and things like anxieties or all those kind of things, that basically a majority of that, 90% of it's produced in the digestive tract. And then there's things like melatonin, which also is produced in the digestive tract, which have so many different interrelationships to the hormonal systems. We keep on thinking about sleep, but there's other things that has an effect on cancer and some of those other elements. Is how well is that system working? And the digestive, do you have all the tools to make sure those things work and everything goes along the proper pathway? On top of that, you know, we can go into that, the parasympathetic, sympathetic pathway, where the stress mechanism plays a little bit there too. And it restricts and directs how you're going to flow in that digestive tract, depending on what you're experiencing at the time, because it's all about survival. I think, you know, we've talked about this on several times about the primary reflexes to survive. If the body feels it's stressed, it's going to change how it adapts to digestion. It's going to be like, I need to get out of here, or I got to fight something. I'm not relaxed. And henceforth, the digestive and the chemicals aren't going to work the way they're supposed to.
You know, it's interesting. If people take something as simple as somebody who has their stomach removed, you know, somebody is overweight and they have it done, or they're having it removed for other reasons. There's some people who've had their guts, their stomach removed because of a preventive for certain type of genetic pass-through cancers. But here's what happens when that occurs. There's no triggering mechanism downstream. That's the other part of the system. That's the one we're talking about, immunological responses. And it causes the lymphoid tissue within the cells, the little cilia, the hair follicles that come up to be destroyed. And that's where a lot of immunological elements are being produced. You know, when we get into the intestinal tract and we really focus on the defense mechanism, that's where we get into the interleukin pathways. And there's a couple of them that I'll talk about Wednesday night, interleukin 17 and interleukin 22. But we'll hold that for right now. We're coming up to a break. But this is an exciting topic, and it's one that if our listeners really grab a hold of the things that they can do simply, they can dramatically upregulate their defense against anything. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and we have a really kind of very important, not kind of, like super important program for you today, one that'll be the topic of our in-house continuing education this Wednesday, the 11th, 6 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. I'll be there and lead you off, and Dr. Scott Lamp and I will go back and forth and talk to you about how to prepare yourself, how to bring up your immunological systems, how to make sure that they're working the way they're supposed to, so you have the best opportunity, the best capacity to fight things. All you got to do, by the way, to register for that class is go online, go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And scroll down. You'll find it. And there's a young lady sitting there with Kleenex, you know, holding her nose. But it says in-house health education, optimize your immune system. And again, Wednesday, January the 11th, 6 p.m., make sure that you go in and register. And please make sure that if you register that you and join us, because we like to prepare for you. We like to make sure that we have everything that's necessary to serve you. Simple way of doing it as well is call the office, 703-698-7117. We'll be there to answer your questions, and we're going to put this in a succinct pattern that is going to give you the opportunity to do well, whether it's COVID, whether it's the flu, whether it's I don't feel good, whether it's cancer. We're going to cover a lot of different things. Optimize your immune system this Wednesday evening. Join us. Dr. Scott, welcome back. Let's get into this a little bit more. I want to continue touching just for a second on what we were dealing with intestinal tract permeability. And, but more importantly, the immune system that's getting its butt kicked because of things that we do to it, not eating the things that we should, not make our foods not digesting properly, and so forth. But let's follow that through just a second. We only have a short segment here, and then we'll get into it much more deeper later on.
Well, I think the thing is I think one of the biggest things is one of the worst things you can do for the body is, I mean, some of our dietary choices, I think also allergies and sensitivities, are a big player in the game, how we change our foods, from the normal things that we have and more of our, and from our ancestors coming to nowadays, we've doctored, quite a few things. And that has a problem. It doesn't really match up with our gut tracts very well. Which also causes another way of things getting in and affecting your immune system is getting infected. Gluten is a huge one, and how it affects, kind of like these, endothelial cells. These are cell linings that are in the digestive tract. That have to kind of filter through things and let things through the blood into the bloodstream, but they get cracks and things from the aspect of what gluten can possibly do. There's something called zonulin, protein that kind of holds and binds some of these cells together. But it's kind of like row houses. You start affecting the zonulin, and now it's almost like you have one of the row houses burnt out. Now you have an alleyway for things to get through, and it gets in the bloodstream and now has some problems that causes inflamed responses. And the body's response is, you know, all the different things you can have for what you expect to see in regards to like a allergic reaction.
You know, the interesting thing, Scott, is that, you know, throughout COVID and actually in our office forever, we've encouraged people to optimize their vitamin D levels, vitamin C, vitamin A, and melatonin and zinc and so forth. And just to kind of roll back, everybody said, well, D is for bones and so forth. Well, it is, but it's also for immunological response. But here's the thing with the intestinal tract. Vitamin D regulates the intestinal barrier, the integrity, you know, of that system. And the gut is an adaptive immunological piece of the body. And we have all kinds of foreign metabolites, you know, that come in and they help actually stimulate and form the gut microbiome. Vitamin D can influence this microbiotic, if we want to use that term, or the microbiome, it exerts a very significant anti-inflammatory and an immune upregulating, immune modulating effect in the system. And that's the piece we were trying to tell people forever. And the information's out there. It's easily researched. But it's one of those things that, you know, these supposed so-called researchers, these talking heads, never said anything to anybody over the last couple of years. And it could have, my opinion could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives just with understanding those pieces.
Yeah. And I think one, the vitamin D is, I look at, there's something called T helper cells. There's one that have, I kind of make it the analogy. It's like, things that affect your house go inside your house. Bacteria and viruses that go inside the cell or after the cell. Then there's also TH2, which is kind of more like allergy type reactions. Think of it like psoriasis or eczema or things. Something's affecting the outside of the house. Well, what it does is upregulates the immune system you're talking about, but doesn't let one of those sides, the TH1 or the TH2 side, to go out of control. It's like the middle part, the fulcrum of that, the balance between how the body's immune system happens. And it kind of keeps things like the cytokine storm that we had that killed a lot of people with the pneumonia type problems, from going overboard. It keeps it kind of, I tell people it's the Judge Judy. You don't want to have the defendant or the plaintiff out of control and kicking control of the process. You're like, you're going to have to listen to both sides and keep things balanced. And that's kind of how it works. And it's amazing how that's been in the numbers that I think you've been talking about. And there's a couple other doctors talking about what we should take the higher range on some of the vitamin D and maybe raise it even higher from what's considered what's normal.
Scott, we're coming up to a break. I want to get back just and touch a little bit more on gut immunity and vitamin D. It's really important, and people don't realize how important, how impactful it is. And there's some guys that have gone to jail because they said vitamin D works. Well, I'm putting myself out there. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We have a whole lot more for you.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. Got an interesting program for you today. We're talking about your immunological responses, your immune system, and that's going to be the topic of our in-house program this Wednesday evening, optimizing your immune system this Wednesday, the 11th of January already, 6 p.m. My guest today and my co-host presenter this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp. We'll both be going back and forth, and we're going to teach you how to optimize your immune system, how to avoid colds and flus and COVID and so forth. And we're going to get into some things that'll, you know, I'm not going to say online here on the air, but we'll talk about it then. And yes, I will talk about COVID, and I'll talk about my opinions relative to that, the things that we've seen over the last 3 years, and what you really need to know about and how you can not only deal with that and post-COVID symptoms and so forth, which I've been talking about, but really, how do you protect yourself? Should you be afraid? In my opinion, all of you know my opinion on this, if you've been listening to me for a long time, I don't worry about it. I just got my vitamin D level back, Scott, this week because I ran my annual blood work and my vitamin D level is at 97. And
good for you. Awesome.
Yeah. And I do that on purpose, and I make sure that I keep things the way they're supposed to because, you know, I've got to run my big mouth all the time and I can't afford to be sick. So let's get into this a little bit more. And, you know, you and I talked offline about how vitamin D and viral patterns and so forth exist when it comes to structural components, how the inflammation in our joint spaces, the inflammation in our spine, the inflammation that we have that weakens our ability to protect ourselves and fight anything exists. Go ahead and kind of lay the groundwork for us a little bit.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting when you talk about viruses, and of course we're looking at COVID type things, but even things like it seems to be some relationships to older viruses. It kind of opens up the chain for other past experiences showing up, like Epstein-Barr, which pretty much everybody in the past the age of 20, 21, 22 actually have probably 100% in the population. What's interesting is also circulation and flow. And it seems like circulation flow around the bones, the bone areas, the structures of the body are kind of like lowered. It's harder for the immune system, white blood cells, to get to some of these places. And that's where it seems like viruses like to store themselves. And when you get some aches and pains, we get these kind of like, okay, is this, my hip is bothering me, my hands are bothering me, like a rheumatoid arthritis type person. And they're to start looking at, is there a possibility that Epstein-Barr might be firing these autoimmune diseases? It's hard for the body to get to those particular points. It likes to stay latent. It likes to be protected and goes through those things. And, you know, there's an interesting article that came out of the Bone of Joint Surgery. It's a Britain periodical in 2011, and it says in the absence of an acute infection was confirmed both, I'll just paraphrase, to our knowledge, this is the first unequivocal evidence of the presence of herpes virus DNA in the intervertebral disc specimens of patients with lumbar disc herniation, suggesting the potential role of herpes as a contributing factor for the pathogenesis of degenerative disc disease.
That's interesting.
These are interesting things that they're starting to show, unequivocal. I like how they put that in regards to the causal relationship. And not only is this thing going after kind of like the structures of the joints, it's also going after the myelin and how much viruses now, there's various, and I'm looking at different articles here in the relationship to things like MS, going after myelin, which is supposed to have that conductor that goes around, protects the nerve, and that's being affected. And how much that has changes, not just in MS, but you can think about possible, maybe even again, personality type changes and things that happen where we're not making the right connections.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but years ago, I wrote a paper. It was a white paper, a short one on my observations, it was more than just case study, on some of my patients who I was treating for MS, but also seemed to have other recurrent conditions. And the most prevalent that I found was either herpes 1 or herpes 2 simplex. So the herpes 1 affecting the oral cavity and the upper part of the body, and herpes 2 being genital herpes. And there seemed to be almost 100% across the board that they had at least one flare in their lifetime of either herpes 1 or herpes 2. But a huge number of them, and when I say a huge number of them, I did research and it wasn't just my patient base, seemed to have an ongoing problem with this. But then we treated it, and through COVID, as you know, I was involved with the research with this company called Phoenix Biotechnological Research Laboratories, and herpes, as well as SARS, as well as COVID, as well as influenza, they're all enveloped viruses, and they all cause the same type of triggering mechanism. As we know, this COVID virus has all the similar characteristics because it was a spinoff of so much of this other stuff. But that seems to be an interesting correlative when the two, and I'm glad that you found that. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
To follow suit with you, I mean, same things with hypothyroid when they have Hashimoto's autoimmune disease. You're also going to mention in there Epstein-Barr seems to play a part. Epstein-Barr seems to play, at least one of my patients, not 100% across the board, but it seems to see, and that's the interesting thing. They call it autoimmune. They have no, so basically the medical thought process is there, well, we don't really know why. Because the things is attacking inside the cell. It's harder to visualize when it's inside the cell versus outside the cell, and hard to make the blood work to make it sure. I mean, you can do some various immunological studies to see if maybe it's active, but it seems to be, I find, and I think you find too, like rheumatoid arthritis, especially in the joints and the hands and things of that nature. I've got one particular patient that's dealing with that right now, that it seems to be pushed by a virus or Epstein-Barr, just not an autoimmune disease, but why? Why is that doing it? And something's going in there and giving it a chance to go in. And I think the same thing with even Hashimoto's.
So here's the million-dollar question with a lot of these things, and we're talking about viral elements. We're slipping into that slope right now. When you have somebody who has been exposed, and the truth of it is that every one of us, and as an adult, we've been exposed to and have antibodies for about 150 different type of viruses, and that's really the truth. It's that many, and we've been exposed. There's been mutations. There's been other things from shingles, where there's, oh my God, if you've ever had chicken pox, you have the virus. So, and then they go in what? For the vaccine, they go in and give you the same damn virus as a vaccine as you did when you, so if your body's immune system is not going to handle the first one, it sure as heck not going to handle the second one. So instead of doing that, because you have to have a strong immune system to trigger an antibody response, let's look at the antibodies that are dormant. And my question to you is simply this. Why are some of those underlying or viral components, those antibodies, the Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, herpetic viruses, and so forth, why are they activated?
Well, I think the thing is if, you know, overall, if the whole system or part of your system gets weakened, it's looking for an aspect of a possibility or an invitation to come out. And I think that's the whole thing when we talk about, especially shingles. You look at the stress mechanism of the body. I'll give you an example. I remember I had this one particular patient that he literally had a puncture into his the meninges. He was leaking the cerebral spinal fluid, had to go for emergency surgery to take care of that. He recovered from that. And as soon as he came out, he ended up having his father pass away. Father passes away. A lot of stress mechanisms going in there. A lot of sympathetic load on the body. And as soon as he had a chance to relax and get over that, boom, with shingles. So these things wait for an opportunity to come out. And if you don't work on things on strengthening the body to make sure you can anticipate some of those things, then these things come out. They will not totally go away. We're trying to look at build your system up so they never have a chance to have an invitation, never open up the door to it. It's interesting, a lot of things like CoQ10, and Tom, as you know, and an anti, like a lot of the oxidation process, you have to open up the door to the cell, to the virus to get in. So what are those things that we can do to make sure that doesn't happen? And like I said, CoQ10, antioxidants, but all the, then you add like food problems where you have oxidative stress that's put on the system. And then all of a sudden the permeability of these cell walls now open up to, for things to come in.
So I'm going to throw you, a kind of a winger around here. And so I was reading an article the other day when, about the things that we're talking about right now, as I'm always kind of a curious George, as they say. And we're talking about infections that seem to be post-COVID infections and these long haul infections that, people are suffering from. And, you know, some of them is the spike protein is locked in and that's what's causing the problem. There's ways of defeating that. We know how to make that happen in most cases. And there's some that become much more difficult. But one of the things I keep picking up on our testing, and I can't figure out why it shows up, and particularly now in so many cases with long haul post-COVID patterns, is something called toxoplasmosis or toxoplasma. I can't remember the last. Is Gondii or Gondii, yeah, Gondii, yeah, something like that, right? And it's a parasite. So it's like, why is that being activated? Because it gives all, you know, the muscle aching, the headaches and the fevers that come and go and the, I don't feel good and the heart muscle. And this is the thing that intrigued me, is the inflammatory reaction in the heart muscle and then the effect that it has on the eye and the retina and so forth. But this is a bug that, you know, generally was thought, you know, to come about because of, pass through from animals, you know, to their host and so forth. But is it because how they grew the thing? Is it the susceptibility? Is the fact that we had it already and it just activates it? This is the piece that I'm trying to get a handle on because I'm finding it. And, you know, when I look in the current medical literature, nobody's talking about it except it's showing up. What's your thoughts, Scott?
I'm perplexed by that too. I think that the thing is like, why is this opening up for these typical type things? And I think again, are we just lowering our resistances so much that maybe the stuff is already there? I mean, you know, we got bacteria and viruses. We got loads of that in our body all the time for all the things we have. We just could keep control of it. We're like a warden of a prison. We're trying to keep those things in. But then all of a sudden, as a warden of a prison, everything starts going over the walls, and now the alarms come up, and we start seeing these things. I just think it's just a dumbing down of our immune system, and it's just letting things in. And again, like we talked about, how different ways can you do that? I mean, you can inflame the body by working with your certain foods that you eat, so that'll weaken the system. You got oxidation that happens that weakens the cell. You get the virus that comes and weakens. And if we don't have the appropriate nutrition, the minerals and proteins to rebuild and those things to put it back in place, they leak in. I think it's already probably there.
Well, you know, the activation of so many viral patterns, and as I talked about probably 3-4 months ago the first time, was these viral patterns are being activated by a lot of the vaccines.
Right.
And particularly with the boosters and so forth. And they're tying up immune responses so we don't have any defense against them. But Epstein-Barr virus is the number one that seems to be activated. And because virtually everybody's been exposed to it, now this thing is going crazy. It gets into joint spaces. It gets into heart tissue. It gets into the brain tissue. It gets in, it lives everywhere. Primarily though, it's going to live in lymphatic tissue and it's going to live in joint spaces and nervous system. So is it possible? So here's the next thing. And I'm going to play patient with you. Is it possible that these things are really the underlying culprits in these long haul situations? And if that's the case, then why didn't we know about this before? Was it just because, like so many other things, observations weren't being published, or that, you know, we're not going to scare the population? Why is it? This is just me. This is Tom Rozelle, you know, thinking out loud, talking to his buddies, Dr. Scott Lamp.
You know, when we take vaccinations, I think that's like, what's appropriate herd immunity? You know, we have these things we call something called cell mediated immunity. We have things called humoral immune systems. And we think that we can do all these shots and create this balance for the body. But part of it is the body has to go through the process of some of these things And when we get into, let's say, as long as your cell-mediated system is activated first and your humoral system is activated second, you should have long-lasting immunity against pathogens. But then when you have these shots that are given, you're bypassing the natural process. And when you do that, it seems like you're really not getting the true herd immunity. We're getting this thing that's synthetic that basically actually opens us up for other things to be, hey, like, well, you're going to open this part, you're going to do this to this part. It opens up another channel for something else to come in.
You know, it's interesting, Scott. Everybody's been paying attention to the Buffalo Bills game last Monday night and the collapse, the cardiac arrest that young Hamill went through. And, you know, the question's been floated around and statements and rumors that, in fact, that he had had a booster several days prior to the game. And was that the triggering mechanism because of that? So here's this young 24-year-old, superbly conditioned, in-shape athlete. And he gets a hit, and there's been much more severe hits. It wasn't a direct hit to the chest, and there was a movement backwards, so some dissipation of the impact, the blow. And he stands up after the hit, and he collapses dead, cardiac arrest. And they had to resuscitate him, and thank God, you know, they had everything on hand, and they were intent on making it happen, and prayer and intention, and, you know, it's like, everybody realized that there's a creator there, and we all had to step into it. But here's this young kid. The question, you know, that I'm dealing with in my brain, and I've drawn my own conclusions, and I'll probably tell everybody what my conclusions are when I see them Wednesday evening, that, you know, there was something other than just a direct smack to the heart that causes. So my question becomes, let's make the assumption and draw it away from him. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing a lot more immunological diseases of the cardiovascular system that may potentially kill people or put them in a desperate situation because of everything we've seen over the last 3 years?
And his case is interesting because there is some things in the, you know, the past before we had all these things with COVID before that if you hit the body in a certain way in the chest that you can cause a defibrillation or something. Baseball's been known to have that. But the question then is you got to look at the numbers. And I think you've talked about the numbers in the past too, where you would say maybe 29 to 32 people per year in the young ages of the 20s or whatever through all different sports have possibility of having a heart attack of some sort. But then now it's something like 1,200. I think that's the number you were quoting before.
Yep.
I have a person that I know that works with the funeral home, and they usually what they do is with stillborns, they have about roughly about, you know, one extra casket or for a stillborn per month that they need to order to make sure they keep up with supply. It's up to now 30. And again, that's a blood flow thing to the uterus, the placenta and all of those kind of things. And that's a nasty thing. And you also mentioned, again, I'm going to quote from your information, about 1500% increase for non-combative elements in the military that those type of heart attacks have increased. So obviously we've done something. It correlates with about possibly the vaccination situations. And we got to really strongly look at this. And this is like, I'm like, you know, where's the autopsies?
Hold the thought, Scott. We'll be right back. We've got a short break coming up. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live and an extremely controversial program. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo. And as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard, we try to bring you the most important information for your health, for you to be able to choose properly, to be able to be involved, to be the controlling point of the things that you want to do, not having somebody else tell you what to do because it's their opinion that you should do these things. And when you get to that place that you trust somebody else who really doesn't have any other background than more so than you do. They just talk better about it and they want to bring out the talking points. That's where we all get in trouble. So my job is to do this. My job is to provoke you to do your homework, to go in and go into areas like PubMed and Grateful Med, go into Townsend's Letter, go into Overseas Letters and so forth, and check out all different sides of the story and then make your decision. Don't believe anybody. Don't believe me. Just go do your homework. This Wednesday evening, the 11th at 6 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing, Dr. Scott Lamp and I together will be doing a back and forth on immunological responses. We're going to get more into the weeds as the night goes on, and we're going to answer your questions, and we're going to be very specific about where the data comes from. We'll tell you if it's our opinion, and we'll tell you if it's based on case studies and where they came from and so forth. So join us. And understand that from the nervous system all the way through the biochemical system, your attitude towards things is going to have a profound effect on emotional play. And as always, I want to thank our men and women in military for all that they do, because without you, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to tell you the things that I want to tell you and continue to support you that way. So thank you. And if there's anything that I can do for you, always reach out. Dr. Scott, welcome back.
Yeah.
Let's get into it just a little bit more and talk about this craziness that is, I just want to get into immunological responses relative to how the body works as a network, because that's what I want to do this Wednesday evening. I really want to talk about the interplay of things and why it's important to look at everything overall and where some of the other smart people are really coming up with diverse information. And particularly when it comes to upregulating immunological responses and so forth. So kind of walk us through that.
One of the things is it's kind of interesting, even talk about the gut aspect. It's going to go through so many different elements that, you're going into, they call a brain, like gut on fire, brain on fire. You do something in the gut, and then all of a sudden you've got something that's crossing the blood-brain barrier and you're having an effect there. Then things get into the liver, and the liver is supposed to help break down and process and take care of inflammatory processes. And now it's burdens with additional burdens on top of it. So those systems play there. This goes really back, I think, Tom, what I think we're alluding to is probably the structure, chemistry, emotional aspect of what we do and why we use that as a kind of like a the basis of our work. The stress mechanism is a huge one that sometimes we just don't think about as being a problem there. But when you stress out, the body's actually regulatory system, the white blood cells are not being produced. Your immune system's being compromised when it feels like it needs to run away. And it's doing that because it's supposed to do for 30 seconds or so. Somebody pulled out in front of me in traffic and I react and my heart's faster and my reaction time might be a little bit faster. But when you're in that constant stress mechanism, now a lot of things start breaking down. Cortisol and sugar. We didn't even get into what sugar and diabetes and the sugar and the thickening of the blood and all the circulatory problems that create a problem. Yeah, we will on Monday night, Wednesday night. So it's just this constant overlap of all these different systems that play. And that's why in the very beginning, we've talked about all those other systems that have our immune system are going to be the ones that affect your immune system. You got to make sure if you're looking at it, how do you customize it for yourself? And I think that's what we're going to talk about. What is customization for yourself? Not everybody's going to take the same thing. You could have a particular type of supplement or herbal or something you might take is good for one person. It's not necessarily good for the other. You've got to find out what's unique for you.
It's super important. I was reading an article the other day, as I do when I, get curious and one subject leads me to the next and leads to the next and so forth. And I was in Joe Mercola's website and I was looking at something he recently published. And then it led me to something else and so forth. And there's a guy that does a lot of functional medicine work. The Dr. Brownstein, medical physician.
Yep.
So, he was talking about something in an interview process that you and I have known forever, and it's the utilization of hydrogen peroxide or ozone therapy, spinoff of that and so forth to kill viral patterns and the like. And, you know, Brownstein, you know, has talked about it as like it was something new, but it's known in the medical community. I'm saying this to our listeners. Don't take anything I'm saying as that I don't respect the man, because I have tremendous respect for who he is and his input into the natural world. And here's a medical physician who's, in my opinion, probably one of the better guys out there when it comes to all this. But, you know, he said that if you're using, to be safe, using food grade hydrogen peroxide and nebulize it to take it into your system, can make a huge difference in any kind of viral pattern. It actually kills it. And so when you do that, and then he mixes it up with Lugol solution, which is an iodine solution in combination with food grade peroxide, and tells you and shows you how to nebulize. Well, that stuff's been out there for a long time. You can go to McCullough's website and you can find it. It's actually a really good article. It basically talks about nebulizing hydrogen peroxide food grade and certain things and how effective, how often to do it. And he basically says in his opinion, you know, this is, you know, the magic bullet. Well, there's other magic bullets. And in March 2020, in the Journal of Hospital Infection, they did a study of 0.5% hydrogen peroxide and found that it killed human coronavirus. Interesting, right? Yeah, but they don't tell you about that. And it leaked out during the pandemic, and everybody was going to the store and buying hydrogen peroxide and wiping their counters down with, and it works really well. But we're going to follow through that thing. But, Scott, I can't wait till Wednesday night. It's going to be fun. Everybody, listen, join us. Go to RoselleCare.com, register for the program. We'll see you this Wednesday, 6 p.m. in Fairfax. See you then. We love you all. Bye.
Take care.